about you, period. And Lord, I'm asking you that you might cleanse me, remove anything hurtful or hindrance in my mind or heart. And Lord, may I be able to preach and teach this morning simply the Word of God, not opinions, but simply the Word of God, that it might help us. And Lord, I pray that we as men, Lord, that we stand for what's right, and we stand down at the house, and we become the spiritual leaders down at the house, and then we make sure that our wives and our children are following your word. And Lord, that it might strengthen our homes and strengthen our church, that we might see our people saved. God, help us, I pray. May the word of God be understandable this morning. May we receive it well, and may you get the glory. Touch me fresh, I pray, this morning, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, as we continue this series on it starts at home, we'll be just looking at the simple Bible for instruction, and I believe that would help us more than anything if we'll just stick to the Bible for instruction and not what the world dictates, because I just told you the mental capacity of the world, and I don't really want to take advice from the world. I'm sorry, I just can't handle it. And I'm having trouble with the education system. I'm having trouble with all that. I'm having trouble with our county and the things taught in our county. It's really rubbing me the wrong way, and I'm having issues. So y'all pray for me that I would conduct myself as a Christian, but I'm not going to conduct myself to where I don't speak out again what's right and what's wrong and for what's right. We okay? Now, the Bible is a book. We know that, but the Bible is the book. It's not a book. It's the book. And in this Bible, it teaches me, as I've read, especially for this message, if we'll take it for and read it slow for how it's written, it'll teach us about our relationship to God, and how our relationship to Him ought to be. It'll show us. It's very plain. It'll teach us about our relationship with our family, and how we're supposed to have, how the dad and the mom, the husband and wife, the mom and dad and the children, how we're supposed to have a relationship after we have the relationship with God. Understand that. And then, not only that, but our relationship with one another. But it's got to start with my relationship with God. I'm not going to have the right relationship with you if I don't have the right relationship with the Lord. I'm not going to have the right one with Cheryl Ann and the boys unless I have the right relationship with the Lord. So that's what it shows. It just shows me how to live my life. It's so simple. It shows me how to live my life. And then not only one another, but strangers and friends and foes and anybody that I meet, it shows me how to conduct myself. It shows me how to treat a stranger. It's very, very explicit how I ought to treat a stranger. Think about that. How I ought to do my enemies. You know, the Bible tells me to love them and to do good to them. You know, it's easy to do good to whom somebody's doing good, but it's hard to do somebody good that's rubbing you wrong, ain't it? But yeah, that's what the Bible says. But you know, we read that fast. We read that verse fast so we can go on to something else. But all of these things, these relationships are to help us live the life that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, everywhere I've read so far, and I've read the Bible through back and forth, and everything that I've read so far, there ain't nobody put nothing new in mine that tells me I need to be concerned about me above everybody else. Everywhere I read, it teaches humility. And we need to start there. Brother Rick asked me this morning when I come into church house, he was in his office, he said, tell us something. Tell us something new. What do you got? Give us a word. I said, wisdom starts at home. That was my word this morning. Wisdom starts at home. You're not going to get it at the church house. It's going to have to start down at your house. There's going to have to be some wisdom down at your house this morning. So let's look at some things. We're not going to get done this morning, so you be ready to come back tonight. We're going to preach till we have a quitting time, and we're going to stop this morning. And we're just going to look at some things in the next couple of weeks. I'd planned and hoped to have a good 4th of July message, but we're going to be preaching on It Starts at Home today and tonight and next Sunday morning and next Sunday night. So you come and you listen, because we're going right on with the Word of God, okay? Everybody all right? I can see your excitement already. And let's look at Proverbs, can we? Proverbs chapter 1. If you want some good instruction, read Proverbs. There's a reason that it lays out, and if you'll read a proverb a day, that's one for each day of the month. It'll help you. If you'll do that every month, then we'll start learning the instruction manual. Men, I want you to look at me. Now, be honest with me. I want you to be honest with me. How many men, before they put anything together, before they do anything, how many men read the instructions completely over and over till you got it in your head? How many men can raise their hand and say, yeah, that's me? Where's the one? I didn't see the one. Who is it? All right. My hat's off to you, sir. Now, I don't know if you ever get anything done, but at least you read them. That's the first thing I put back in the box. I get it out and say, I ain't reading that. I don't have enough sense to put this together. All right? This is our instruction. And I'm afraid we've put it back in a box too many times. And we've decided to run our house our own way. And that's why that 99 9/10 of us have dysfunctional homes. Because we didn't read the instructions. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at it just for a moment. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. There's a good thing. Verse 5 is good for somebody who thinks they know it all. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. We don't know it all. Nobody likes to know it all. Verse 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 8 is how it ought to be. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Can I tell you that the home is so important that God made a man and a woman to get married and have children. A male man, and a female woman to get married and have children. That's what God ordained, to have a man-male man and marry a female woman, female, and then have children. And God ordained that then the man and the woman, the male and female, man and woman, wife and husband, teach the children, thus saith the Lord. That's what is ordained by God. Now, all you young parents, I want y'all to listen this morning. All right? And all y'all that might be fixing to get married and fixing to have babies, and if y'all didn't know it, Justin and I'm going to have a baby. It's going to be here come January. They're going to have a baby. They're excited. And I'm tickled for them. But let me tell you, if all you want is a baby and no responsibility, you'd be better off with a dog. A puppy, a cat is what you need. If you're not going to raise the baby according to the Word of God, just get you a puppy. A goat, a pig, some chickens. Get you that, and then it don't matter. But if you want to be what God wants you to be, then boys, find you a girl and have you a home, and then have children that you might be responsible to God after you're married. That's what you're supposed to do. All right? We all right so far? And then, men, we ought to hear the instruction and have the instruction. And our instruction is this book, this Bible. That is our instruction. Now, that's just some thoughts. Let's turn over and we'll preach from this morning until we get done today anyway and pick up tonight. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to read, if you'll allow me to. I'm going to read down through verse 15. We'll come back. Is everybody okay? Can you handle that much reading this morning? Listen to me. I'm not being smart. Like, me reading, it might not be the best for anybody. All right? You read. You got the board. You have your Bible in your lap. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse 1. It says, now in my heading in my Bible says warnings and instructions continued. And that's really what Proverbs does. You know, Proverbs will tell you what moms ought to do, what dads ought to do, what they shouldn't do, how you talk, what about your tongue, about your life, about your mind, about your home, about your work, about your money. Proverbs will tell you about every aspect of life. If you'll read it, every aspect of life is in the Proverbs. Think about that. And I'm not going to ask you, but how many, and I was raised in a preacher's home, just like a lot of other people who are raised in a good home. But can I tell you, you know what I was taught? I was taught to work and sleep. I was taught to do what daddy and mommy said. We was taught the Bible, but we wasn't taught the Bible. And I'm not downing my daddy or my papa or nobody, but we weren't taught about how to have a biblical home. We was taught how to have a home like they had. Which was not a bad home. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a biblical home. There's things that I've studied in the last couple of days that I wished I'd known before I got married, or when I first got married. I wished I knowed it, because I wouldn't been in the shape I'm in today. So let's read it, then go back. Is we okay? Now, I'm not down on my daddy or my mommy or my papa or nobody. I'm just telling you, we've dropped the ball, and we have stopped teaching the correct principles of the Christian home. And it now has bled into where there's no correct principles at the church house. And we're far from having a principle in the country. Far from that. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord's a maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the street. That's how come these people lay. They're scared. The slothful man shall say, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, I'll stop right there, and let's go back and look at verse 1, all right? Let's go back. Now, when we talk about instructions and warnings, this is what needs to be taught in the home. Now, understand that the first thing ought to be taught is salvation. And if we'll teach what the Bible has laid out, did you know that our children will be saved at an earlier age? Yes. Amen. Do you know that they'll be committed to the Lord at an earlier age if we're consistent in our teaching? But we must be consistent in our teaching. We must be consistent. You know, we have one kid and we're all being on that being the best kid. And then we think we want another one. And then we have the second one and we're so busy with the first one, we drop the ball on the second one. And then when we have three and four and five, then we turn, I'll just let it go. Just let it go. And we end up having a house full of hellions. Because that's what they naturally are. And without instructions, every baby is a rattlesnake full of poison that the only thing that's going to keep him out of the jailhouse is your teaching. They're all murdering, lying thugs. They're a venomous snake. They're all these little babies. You're getting ready to have a copperhead. Huh? A cobra. You know? That's what you're fixing to have. It's going to be a boy. It's going to be mean as sin. Huh? But it's got two girls in front of it, and it's going to be a spoilt brat if you and Zach don't train it right. That's what it'll be. Every child that's not disciplined is a spoiled brat and ought to go to jail. And every child that's not disciplined, you shouldn't have had them, because the Bible says you don't like them if you don't discipline them. Okay? Think about that. So you'd be better off not having them. So let's look here at verse 1, can we? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. We're just going to teach what the Bible says, okay? It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Instead of teaching our kids, our families, and having our family to have great riches and stuff, we ought to make sure that our family has a good name. Amen. The name means something. Your name means something. When your name is mentioned, then it ought to stand for right. It ought to stand for God. It ought to stand for all the things that when your name, it's a good name. And it's greater than any riches you could ever have. Now, we all know how that works. Everybody in here, if I would say certain names, right? I mean, it goes to show you, how many here know a woman, not what you call them, but what their name? How many here know a woman named Jezebel? We know them in the Bible, but how many of you know? You raised up with any? I was not raised up with anybody named Jezebel. Now, why is that? Her name means something. Her name means something. Delilah is a rare name. It may still be, but it's rare. Because of the name. You know. What does Adolf Hitler mean to you? You know. If there's not something in a name, it don't matter what he done, that name will go forever through eternity. Because, why? Because the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen. We ought to have a good name. We ought to have a good name. Now, it don't mean it has to be everybody agree or you have to live to where everybody agrees with you, but it ought to be a good name. Okay? Everybody understand that? It ought to be an honest name. Huh? See, my name and my boys, it's good. It's good that my boys will follow me, yes, but they'll always be my boys. And they'll always belong to Mark and Cheryl. See, I've told you many times, countless times I go through and they say, your name, my name's Mark Secret. You ain't that Winona Buns? I said, yeah. Whose boy are you? Like, it shouldn't have mattered. It shouldn't have mattered. They always say, are you Bill's? I said, no, I'm Boyd's. Oh, okay. Boyd pastored here, preached here, done that. And I wish Holly was here because we've talked about this. Said, you kin to Holly? Because Holly was a nut. All right? Always involved in stuff. All right? But they always, yeah, you kin to Holly? Why? Because the name. The name. A good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And we ought to raise our kids to protect our name, to protect their name. Amen. Okay? Instead of just learning to raise a family or just great riches, that their name means something. Listen, my name means something to me. I don't like it when it's misspelled. If I'm in a doctor's office and they spell it wrong, I said, that's not me. And they said, well, don't worry. Yeah, it does matter. It matters to me because that's my name. But people say, well, that's all foolish. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So to me, a good name is worth more than a $100 bill. Huh? But we need to teach our kids. We need to teach our kids that if they don't live right, they may hurt the name. We okay? That the name means something. And you say, well, we don't do that. I know that. We question. There's people we question in this county. If they would come to church and you knew their name, we would stand off and wonder, are you like your daddy, your mommy? Do we or do we not? We do. Why? Because they didn't have a good name. A good name is important. And it says that it's better than riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold to find favor. Can I tell you, it's good when we find favor with people. It's good when we find favor with a lost person. It's good. Are we okay? How about verse 2? It says the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. So it is when told us in verse 2 that there's no difference. Whether rich or poor, then you ought to choose a good name because it's better than riches. And there's no difference in the rich or poor. It don't matter your upbringing in that respect. Can I tell you it's not a shame to be poor? It's a shame to be dirty. You shouldn't be dirty and stink. Because there's river water and creek water everywhere, and there's no excuse for anybody to stink and be dirty. But being poor is not nothing to be ashamed of. Being poor is okay. Huh? We all right? How about verse 3? A prudent man foreseeth evil, or a wise, thoughtful, cautious person. He sees evil. He's watching evil. And we need to teach it to our children. And we as parents, see, I'm too late. I can't go back and re-raise my boys. Boy, I wish I could. You say, well, they're good boys now. They'd have been better boys if I could go back. They'd have been greater men if I could go back. They'd have been maybe some things they would have not ever been involved in if I could go back. But I can't go back and change it. So maybe I can teach you and your young ones and to go by what the Word of God says. But we need to teach them to be prudent, if you would, and be cautious, huh? Be very cautious, thoughtful about things. Because it says here, but the simple pass on and are punished, or foolish, uncaring, unbelieving. Then punishment's going to come. They're going to catch it. We got to be careful. How about verse 4? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. Humility. Think about that. Humility and the fear of the Lord. Did you know that humility is the one thing that's missing? A big thing is missing in our home. That humility comes the fear of the Lord, but it brings respect. We're not taught respect. Huh? We okay this morning? We're not taught respect today. We're not taught to respect our elders. We're not taught to honor our elders. You know? You can tell when our kids run us over. When our kids run us through the door, when the kids run through the church and knock you out trying to get out of the church or in the church. I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about church people today. That we respect, we're taught respect. That we're taught to yes sir and no sir. We're never taught humility boys stand up when a woman comes in a room, or we're not taught to be seated when a woman comes by to shake hands. You say, well, I've never heard such a thing. We're not taught it no more. A man should never be seated and a woman come by to shake hands, ought to stand up. And a man should really never shake hands with a woman unless she offers her hand. That's respect. But we're not taught that no more. Kids don't have a clue. They don't know that you take your hat off at the table. They don't know that you take your hat off when you come in a house. That's why they used to have coat racks and hat racks when you walked in the door. You took your hat off and you didn't wear it in your house. And he said, well, what's the matter? Things do matter. But look how far we've went. We've compromised and let go. And now we got to go back and try to gain. Everybody says, how many here would love to have the powerhouse churches that they had years ago? Anybody? All right, but we're going to have to go back with some standards that they had. We're going to have to go back with some praying time and Bible time and living time. Huh? How many get so aggravated because you can't find nobody to work? Anybody? Hold your hand up. But nobody's taught to work no more. We got generations of welfare, generations of Social Security, and ain't nothing wrong. The only disability is that they may have fell out of the baby bed when they was little, but there ain't nothing wrong with them. They are disabled people. Can I tell you, I know disabled people that still work. Huh? And people are able, won't, but we got to go back and teach it. Huh? Can I tell you, you'll never teach nobody to work. Hey, you. Don't know me. That's where we're at. I watch a near 80-year-old man and a 70-something-year-old woman come and cut their kids' grass, and they lay up in the house and won't help them. If I was dying on oxygen and they were shocking my chest and my grass needed cut and my parents to come, I would crawl out there with that shocker and at least try to push the lawnmower. But I would not sit in the house and let my parents cut my grass when ain't nothing wrong with me that I'm just too overweight and lazy. I'm sorry. And you say, well, you're on humility. That's right. I am on humility. Where we're grateful and thankful. And where we're willing to be taught. See? Our children are not teachable because they are the teacher. They tell the parents what to do. They tell them what's right. They give the orders. And there's no humility there. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Honor and riches and a long life comes after humility. Not before. Huh? Verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. And that froward is a habitual disobedient person. Where they're disobedient by habit. Huh? You know there's children like that? In fact, you may be one of them children going to grow up. Huh? Because we've missed a few generations. Huh? Always opposing. Always opposing. You know how you know if you got a froward child? I need you to cut the grass, but the sooner it come out their mouth or in their mind, they're froward. Because they were disobedient. They question you. They question you. If you can tell them to go cut the grass, they need to be cutting the grass until you tell them to quit cutting the grass. If they get it done once, just let them keep cutting it. It'll help them. It'll help them. Hmm? And they always made fun of me. All right? They always made fun of me and cutting grass at the house. The men I work with made fun of me. They come over one time, and it was either Philip or I think it was Philip. Because he was mad about something. And I'm out there, and I wanted my line straight. We was cutting the front yard to push more, and I wanted my line straight, the wheel marks. And I'd make him go up and come back the same track. Well, I really didn't care whether the grass looked like it or not, really. But Philip didn't know that. I was teaching Philip and Marcus. That's what I wanted. That's what they was going to do. The grass needed cut. We wasn't just going to blow grass everywhere. We was going to cut it. We was going to cut it right. He'd slam that lawnmower around up to where he'd go, but he was making sure his lines were straight. And you say, well, that's cruel. No. No, because when he got his own house, he wanted to work. He wanted things done right. Now, there were some things he let go. I mean, we all do. But they had it. They had it. Huh? We okay? I'm just telling you that the froward is disobedient and always opposing, wanting to be done different. All right? Now look at verse 6. Train up a child. Train up a child. These are our commands, moms and dads, to train up a child. Now, I can't do it with Philip and Marcus no more, but I can help with the grandchildren. Huh? Landon comes over. I don't know how Pat does him, but he comes over to my house helping the garden. Well, the first thing I do is get out a ball of string. And Landon gets out. We going to get the string? You know? And I said, yes. And we make the row straight. And he said, all is this planet. I said, no, we're going to make the row straight. Huh? And then we line up this line. It's gotta be right. It's gotta be right. We was burning holes in my plastic here the other year, and he was leaning on the string, and he got he was still going right with the string, but he's laying on it. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" Now we put the plastic down this year. It was old plastic. And he said, "Who done that line?" And I said, you tell me. He said, well, I was little then. Huh? Did he remember? Well, I'm telling you, we got to train them. Pat's showing them how to weld a little bit. Him and Lane show them how to weld a little bit. They're not just going to jump up there and grab his welder and take off. He's going to show them how to do it right. He's going to tell them how to do it, not to do it. He's going to train them. That's our job. Huh? I've watched Lindsay up there with Hannah. This is how you make biscuits. This is how you do. This is how you do it. You make biscuits that way. You do it this way. Well, you know how she done it? She had Bonnie come up and show her how to make biscuits. So they done it the way Bonnie did. They have their certain way. They go through the very procedure. Make good biscuits, man. Good biscuits. All right? But they was trained to do that. Now we're trained. I want a number one. With fries. That's how we're trained. Give me a large with everything. No onions. Pepperoni, sausage, you know. This is why we're in the shape we're in. Did you know that I got a picture, I think I still got it in my phone, that it says on a pizza box, open before eating pizza? Do you know that's on some pizza boxes? It really is. It says open before eating pizza. Roger, was that not you that sent me the picture of the chickens at Walmart, the bag of chicken? It said it was back legs only. That's what it says on the package at Walmart in a chicken. Back legs only. I'm not making a joke. And you wonder why Congress does what they do. The people who wrote this stuff. We better get back to teach your kids. It ain't no wonder they don't know who God is. If they know that you gotta, if they don't know you gotta open the box before you eat the pizza, they ain't gonna know about God. I'm not trying to be funny this morning. I'm trying to tell you we've got to teach and train. And it says to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not. That don't mean if you take him to church that they'll always stay in church. It don't mean that if they let me tell you how we've been taught this verse. Train up a child, away she go. I took him to church. Now, even though they're out drunk, horn around, dope head, and everything, done committed 16 murders, fornicator, been married 17 times, burnt down 6 houses, they'll come back to God because I took them to church and they made a profession. That's how we've been taught that verse in West Virginia. That's the dumbest thing anybody's ever said.
Amen, bro.
That's the truth. We're to train them. Huh? That they might be what the Bible says. We still okay? So train them. Now we'll get back to that verse. Let's look at verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I wish somebody would give me that verse when I got married. I wish I was taught that you shouldn't have credit. I wish I was taught that you didn't borrow money. I wish I was taught that you didn't have a credit card. And you say, well, that ain't nothing wrong with it. Well, the Bible says right here that the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. Do not raise your hand. But how many of us are a server to the credit card account? How many of us are a server to the finance company? And then we got to work longer and harder to pay them bills of 24% interest that will never get paid for, making a minimum payment. But we can only make the minimum payment because we got 97 of them. So we got to work more hours and stay away from home and stay on the job all the time and the kids raise themselves. And we ain't got time to serve God. We ain't got time. We're too tired to read our Bibles. We're too tired to pray because we're a servant to the lender. But there's very few homes that are ever to set the kids down and say, don't be a servant to the lender. Very few. What we're taught is if you're going to have something, you're going to have to borrow and finance it. Get it on credit. That's what we're taught. But see, it's in the Bible. Oh, I wished I'd been shown that. You said, well, you should have read it myself. I should have read it myself. I should have. I should have read it. But I was still a kid when I got married. I was just 18 when I got married. And I'm not throwing off on nobody, but Mom and Dad should have set me down and said, this is what you don't do. If Daddy had told me never borrow a penny, I was obedient enough, I'd have never borrowed a penny. I obeyed my Daddy enough. Everybody laughs as you do. If I was falling off a house and Daddy said stop, I'd have stopped in there. Because if I'd hit the ground anyway, he'd have whipped me. Huh? But I'm just telling you, do you understand what I'm preaching this morning? I'm just going down through and reading our instruction and our warnings, trying to make us have better homes and you better homes. And some of you young ones that's coming on with your children, huh? That you're taught what we should have been teaching you all along. But can I tell you, this is new to a lot of people. If I was asked you, do not do it. But if I was asked you, raise your hand, how many has ever been shown in the Bible why you that verse right there about borrowing and lending, they wouldn't be very many hands raised. Because we don't teach that. And then if we are taught it, we said, now that's what Solomon said, but you know, he had too many wives. Like that's got something to do with the Word of God. Huh? That we always got an excuse. We still okay? Look at verse 8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Huh? If we keep sinning continually, we're just going, what we're going to find is ourselves empty. Huh? Well, you know what emptiness causes? Emptiness causes appetites. If you continually sin, you're going to find yourself empty, and then you're going to be hungry for more sin. And you're going to have an appetite for it, and you're going to go from this. That's why, go ahead, smoke your first joint. Go ahead, smoke it. And then that ain't going to do no good. And then you're going to have to do a little bit of crack. And crack ain't going to do you no good. Then you're going to have to go do a little bit of heroin. Heroin ain't going to do you no good. You're going to have to start mixing fentanyl with your heroin. And it goes right on down the line until we dig a grave and throw dirt in your face and bury you. You know, you drink a little bit, go ahead and drink a little bit of your wine for stomach's sake. Go ahead and drink a little bit of it. Then next thing you know, you're going to be drinking a six pack. And then the next thing you know, you're going to drink a little bit of Jack Daniels. Next thing you know, you're going to lose your car and you're going to lose your job. And then you lose your family. And then when you're laying down and your livers eat all the pieces, you say, man, I should have never done that. And it's the appetite. It's the appetite, you know. And it's any sin. Go ahead and fool around, boys and girls. Go ahead and fool around here. Fool around here and do things. Fornicate. You ain't got no business doing it. You ain't got no business doing it. You ain't got no business doing it. Everybody here ought to holler amen. Amen. Everybody here should have hollered amen. Shame on us. Boys and girls ain't got no business fornicating. That's having sex before you're married. Amen. That's what that means. You ain't got no business doing it. It's wrong, it's dirty, it's sin. Amen. All right? You hear me? But go ahead and do it. Go ahead and see how many partners you can have. Then when you get married and find somebody, some little innocent girl, boys, we always talk about the girls being easy, and we talk about the boys being whoremongers. Go ahead, and then you got some little innocent girl over there, and you're not happy with her because you're comparing her to all them other girls you've had. Yep. And go ahead and bust up with that, and then marry this one, and bust up with that, and marry this one. And then you got 15 child support payments, and you got to work two jobs, and you can't raise that kid right, and y'all they ain't never there because the other people's coming and getting them. And you say, well, that's me. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you this is where we're at today. Okay, and then you get old and you're poor and you can't get along with nobody because that family is fighting with this family, and you ain't had no Christmas, you ain't had no birthdays, you ain't had nothing, and you're sitting lonely because you made everybody mad, and you die lonely out of the will of God. That's just the appetite of sin. That's all it is. Now, I know we all got past that. That ain't what I'm preaching. I'm just telling you, I can't change my life now, but I can sure help my grandkids. Amen. I can teach my grandkids. And you that still got kids at home, teach your kids. Yes. And you that got kids that are coming, teach them now. Yes. Teach whatever his name's going to be now. What's his name now? Jensen. Teach him now. Told him, he hears everything you say. Teach him now. He don't understand. I know he's listening. Huh? That's why he kicks. He don't like what you say. That's why he kicks all over you. Huh? Listen to me. Listen to me. There's no such thing as teaching too early. But there is something about teaching too late. We ready to quit here this morning? I'm just trying to help us. I've been asking God, God, show me, how can I help? Well, go back to the basics and just teach the Bible. Let's just go teach the Bible. And we'll teach on, it's got to start down at the house. And that's what I'm preaching this morning. It's got to start down at the house. Cheryl, you go to pen. I'm going to quit right there. Listen to me this morning. The first thing that's got to start down at the house, that Dad, you need to be saved. It needs to start there. Dad, you need to be saved this morning. If you want to do something great for your family, be saved. Get saved. Be a saved daddy. If you want to do something for your family, mommy, be saved. Get saved. Husband, wife, be saved. Have a Christian fellowship. Have a Christian home. Husband and wife, be saved and fellowship with the Lord. And then when you have children, then it's not going to be hard. It'll be easy to fellowship with the Lord and live right and do right. And sure, there's going to be mistakes. Sure, there's going to be hard times. Sure, there's going to be times that it's going to be hard to stay together. But you can do it with God. And you can do it with the Word of God. And you can do it if you stay true to God. It's when we mess up that things happen. But it's not God's fault. And it's not the Bible's fault. And it's not always mom's and dad's fault, because we have choices. And we need to have the right kind of home. It's got to start down at the house. It's got to. And I ask you this morning, dads and moms, make sure you're saved. Then make a commitment to God that, God, I'm going to take your word and I'm going to take it for what it says, and I'm going to raise my kids like this. And my grandkids, listen, the grandkids are going to love you like nobody else. The grandkids are going to think you hung the moon. Do you know that? The grandkids are going to think you walked on, I thought my papa walked on water. I thought my papa was the greatest man ever lived. What an opportunity if I've got the good name in front of from all them grandbabies, and they come and they trust me. Oh, what an opportunity to teach. What an opportunity to teach. What an opportunity to show them example. What an opportunity. Oh, but you made me, yeah, I made mistakes, and I know what to tell them not to make the same ones. And I tell them who to marry and not to marry, and who to love and not to love, and in a relationship. We got to do that. Man, the opportunities is wonderful. Think about it. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that. When I plant my garden, I teach him to pray over the seed. Something that small. To pray over when, to till it in the right time. But pray over it. Think about it. Every little thing. To pray before you go on a trip. To pray before you start a job. Me and Jared, we was hauling sheep manure here a while back. I may have told you. And we just rushing, trying to get it done. And we've done this, done that. Next thing you know, we caught the trailer on fire, burnt the dump trailer all to pieces. Trying to get it to dump. We got 5-6 ton of sheep manure on there, trying to get it dumped. Nothing was working. And I looked at him and said, we didn't pray. And he said, no, we didn't. I'm the preacher. If anybody should have prayed, I should have done prayed. And you say, I'm crazy. But we didn't know. We knelt down there and I prayed over that trailer and it lifted it and dumped it. Did it or did it not, Jared? Huh? And you say, well, that's all what you do. We didn't do anything no different. We were dumb as a rock or we never caught far. But God delivered us. I'm just wanting you to understand this morning that there's an instruction book and our homes are suffering and that makes our church suffer and that makes our county suffer. If our homes would be right, we wouldn't be fighting some of the things out there that we're fighting today. And I beseech you, moms and dads, husbands and wives, papas and mamas, to commit to teach the Word of God to our children in every way. Father, speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name.